together again, the people of God coming to celebrate the arrival of our King. It's awesome, isn't it? And like Pastor Phil said, we celebrate and we rejoice in the hope that we have. You know, when everything else seems to be falling around your life, you have hope that is the anchor of your soul, and that is Jesus Christ. And that is what we hold on to, and that's what we celebrate, and that's what we rejoice in this morning. We celebrate the fact that the God of the universe, who created everything, chose to enter into our world and relate to us and to reveal himself as our wonderful counselor, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen? Amen. We're going to conclude our series this morning on He Shall Be Called. And if you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, we're going to look in Luke chapter 2. This is the passage of Scripture that our children read last week in the service, and I just want to take a chunk of it, and we're gonna look at Jesus as the Prince of Peace this morning. He is your peace, and Pastor Phil pretty much said the entire summation of this morning's message is that the Prince of Peace lives within you, And so we're going to look in chapter 2, verse 10, and it says this, it reads like this: "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" I love that. He's there to bring good news of amazing, awesome, fantastic joy that will be for all of mankind, all humanity. "And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And then suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." I'm going to read that last bit again. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Have you ever stopped and just think about how unpeaceful the Christmas story is? Have you ever just sat and reflected on here is this, the arrival of our King, the Prince of Peace, the Bible says, and just take a look at how unpeaceful this scenario really is. You start out with a teenage virgin girl, and she finds out she's pregnant. And she finds out not only is she pregnant, but she's pregnant by God. All right? Now, by the way, that is when God entered into this world. I love the fact that I think about he chose to come and relate to all of us as best as he possibly can, in every way that he even chose to be carried around in a womb for 9 months. So maybe we should celebrate 9 months previous to today. Whoever's good with numbers, we'll do that next year, and we'll figure that out. But that is the truth. But here we have this teenage girl, and she's pregnant. And so the very conception of this king in her womb sparks controversy. She was looked at, she was ostracized by her family. Can you imagine the unrest and the unpeace that she had by herself? Can you imagine lying awake in bed saying, "How am I going to explain this to anybody? Nobody's going to understand this. Nobody's going to get this." The amount of lack of sleep that she must have lost, and unrest in herself, knowing, man, what is going on? The uncertainty of the future, knowing that people in her community were turning their backs against her, that they probably all wanted to stone her for doing something against the law like this. So all of a sudden, it starts off unpeaceful. And then they decide, her and Joseph, that they want to travel across country to Bethlehem on a donkey. On a donkey. We're talking 9 months pregnant and on a donkey. That is not exactly a peaceful scenario, is it? I took my wife camping when she was 9 months old. That came out perfect. No. I took my wife camping when she was 7 months pregnant with our youngest, Jonathan. And man, she champed it. She really did. We wanted a family vacation up in Niagara Falls, and so we went camping. She's 7 months pregnant. She's got a full belly, but I did buy her the best air mattress on the market, right? But I can imagine how unpeaceful that those sleeps must have been, on how unrestful those sleeps must have been. And so Mary and Joseph, and they pull into town, and baby is coming. There is no stopping, baby. Baby is on its way. We need to find a place now. I'm having this baby. All right, so you, those of you who have seen children born, you know the intensity of that moment of baby is coming. There's no stopping it. And so Joseph negotiates a place, and he ends up, and they end up in a barn, right? We all know the story. And this is not exactly the most peaceful, peace-inducing environment, a barn, right? With animals and poop and all that stuff and hay. And it's just like, this is not the best scene that you want your child to be, the first environment that they want to be born into. And so here you have this teenage virgin girl who's pregnant. She's 9 months pregnant. They just traveled across the land on a donkey, and they find themselves in a barn, and now she's about to give birth without an epidural. Yeah. I mean, I think we can all agree that birth without an epidural equals no peace, right? No epidural, there's no peace, right? But Jesus is born. Here he is. He's the Prince of Peace, and he enters the planet Earth, and everything surrounding him, the entire environment surrounding him, is lacking peace. King Herod gets word of that this Jesus was going to be born, this King of the Jews, and he knew of the prophecies, and he knew of everything that was going to be going on, and he imagined that this King of the Jews to come was going to overthrow his throne, and so he was going to knock him out, and so he decides he's going to send his entire regiment over to Bethlehem and wipe out all the children under 2 years old. I'm going to ensure that this Jesus does not overthrow me, and that he does not become the King of the Jews. And so here he is, the Prince of Peace, enters into our world, and everything around him is lacking peace, it appears. Everything around him. Where is this peace that this child is supposed to bring? Where is it? For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. When you look at the words Prince of Peace in the Hebrew, the words there are used Sar Shalom. Sar Shalom. And Sar, in its original meaning, means that somebody who's in charge of something, right? He is the commander, the chief, the general, the one who is in charge. And Shalom is, and the Romans used the word Sar. They get it, and they used it, and they changed it into Caesar, and then it became Julius Caesar, right? That's where they get the word Sar, the one who's in charge, right? And so then Shalom was this greeting that people greeted one another with. It meant tranquility. It meant rest. It meant wholeness, completeness. May you be at rest. May you be tranquil. May you be complete and whole. And so here is Jesus, the Sar Shalom. He is the captain, the one who's in charge of rest. He's the one in charge of wholeness, the one who is in charge of tranquility and completeness. And so you may be here this morning and you're thinking, well, if that's the case, if this Prince of Peace came into our world on that day, and he came into our world, where is this peace? Why do we not see, when I look at this world and I see peace all around, why do we not see a world at peace? If he chose to be the one who is in charge of peace and to bring it to earth, why don't we see it? Where is it? Why is this world not at peace? If you still have your Bibles open, just look back at Luke chapter 2, because I want you to see something this morning. Look in verse 14. It says this, "And then suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests." Peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. Another translation says goodwill, which means to please and to be favored. Another translation says that on earth peace to men to whom he is pleased with. To whom he is pleased with. So, in other words, what this is saying is that peace on earth is not something that is guaranteed to everyone simply because Jesus stepped foot onto this earth. It's not this blanket thing where it's not this that it covers the entire earth like a blanket and rests on top of everybody, on everyone. But what he's talking about here is this peace that is guaranteed and is permanently available to all whom God's favor rests upon. On whom all God's favor rests upon. And so this definitely changes the way we look at our world currently, doesn't it? It drastically changes the way we see peace on earth. The way we see peace on earth. Well, where is this peace of God in the midst of all the horror in this world, and in wars and famines? Where is the peace of God? Where is this Prince of Peace? Where is this peace that he came to bring to earth? You know where it is? It is within all who come under the grace and the lordship of Jesus Christ. It rests within them. He is their peace. He is their stay. He is their rest and their tranquility when everything else is going, falling to bits and pieces around them. Where was the peace of God in World War II? It was within all those whom God's favor rests upon. All who came under the grace and the lordship of Jesus Christ. He was their hope. He was their peace in that troubled time. This is your Prince of Peace. He is the one who's in charge of bringing rest and wholeness to those whom he calls his own. Amen? Let me see some smiles. I have to see it because this is good news. He came to bring good news of great joy to all people. In Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, therefore, since we have been declared not guilty of our sins, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of our faith in Christ Jesus that the hostility between God and man has been forever restored. That hostility between God and mankind has been forever redeemed and reconciled. And so the peace of God brought to this earth through the Prince of Peace is granted to us, to those whom his favor rests upon. Amen. Amen. And the beautiful promise here is that he is not going to withhold this peace from anyone who desires to place their faith in him. But this was good news for all people, that for those who God's favor rests upon, they will experience a peace that transcends our understanding, our ability to even comprehend it. It's a peace that resides within, a peace that we can't even explain. It's just there and is there, and it's your rest. It's your stay. It's his presence within you. When everything else is going to bits and pieces, he is your hope, your rock, your stability. And you know that he's the one in charge of all things. And when he's the one in charge of your peace, he gives it to you, he brings it, and so you can place your trust and faith in him and say, and rest. He is not going to withhold his peace from anyone who desires to place their faith in him. The peace of God comes with the package. It is part of that gift of grace. It comes with the package. It is the gift of God to you. His peace is the gift of God to you. His peace is your gift today. There's not a single gift you will get today from anybody else in your life that will even come close to comparing to the peace of God that lives and resides within you. Ephesians 2:13 through 14 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. For Christ himself is our peace. He is our peace. Now, some of you today, I know you're going through things in your life that are just not peaceful. The circumstances around your life are not peaceful. The situations around your life are not exactly peaceful. And maybe the only way to describe the things that are going on in your life externally are turbulence or unrest. And when you think about these situations even right now, it just begins to cause anxiety within you. Rest and peace is not something that you think of when you think of these difficult moments. A lot of you are facing difficult things in life right now. A lot of you. Some of you, you've got health problems right now. You have health issues. And it's very difficult to go through that process. And for those of you who love someone who's going through health problems, it is very difficult for you too. To watch someone you love go through pain. To watch someone you love go through these things. Some of you are going through financial difficulties. And and especially this time of year when it's all about giving, 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 a lot of it has to cost money. And so it's just like a little bit of a stressful time for you, right? It doesn't exactly help you catch up this time of year. And some of you, you got family issues. And today you're going to see family that you are at odds with, and people that have maybe backstabbed you or talking bad about you, or somebody who's broken the trust bond in a family relationship, or somebody you just don't get along with. You're going to see people like that today. But I want you to understand this morning that as your Prince of Peace, as your Sar Shalom, Jesus wants to bring you comfort. He wants to give you His peace this morning. He wants to give you His peace. In John chapter 14, 27, Jesus is talking to His disciples. And if you remember the story, He's explaining to them for the very first time that He's about to leave them. Now, if you remember here, the disciples had just given up everything to be with Him. They've given up their jobs. They've given up their families. They've given up everything to be with Him, to follow Him, to learn from Him, to serve Him. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, I'm taking off now, guys, but I'm going to leave you with somebody. I'm going to send somebody to be with you. Now, I want you to imagine you're a disciple here, and here's this man that you've just given up everything for, your Lord, your Savior, the one who you believe to be the Son of God, and all of a sudden, you just spent 3 years, you gave up everything. Imagine the anxiety, the sense of uncertainty of your future. If I was one of those guys, I'd be frustrated. You say, what? I just gave up my job, my career, everything, and you're just taking off now? You're just going to leave us? Abandon us right now? How am I going to get my job back? I lost my job. I left. I didn't even give them 2 weeks' notice. They're not going to hire me again, man. You know, all these things are going through your mind. You're leaving us? And in that state of unrest, out of that state of may have been anxiety for them, Jesus brings them these words of comfort. In John chapter 14, verse 20, starting in verse 25, He says, all of this I've spoken to you while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He's going to teach you all things, and he's going to be the one to remind you of everything that I've said to you. And here it is. You ready? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I want you to notice something right here. That it's not your peace. It's not even peace in and of itself. What is it? It's His peace. It's His peace that He lovingly and willingly gives to you. Essentially what He's doing is Jesus takes His peace. He takes His peace as the one who's in charge of peace, the one who's the source of peace. He takes it and He literally gives it directly to you. Directly to you through the Holy Spirit that lives within inside of you. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to receive somebody else's peace? Where, okay, maybe you were not at peace yourself in a situation. As a matter of fact, you had the urge to be to panic, and you're like, you're frightened or fearful. And you went into a situation and you just were not at peace in it, but you had to, in a sense, borrow somebody else's peace or use their peace for that moment to help you get through it. I remember my first time going down a mountain skiing. My cousin's dad took us skiing for the very first time. I was 10 years old. And I remember thinking to myself how unnerving it was to not be able to grip the earth anymore with your feet. All right? They put these slippery toothpicks on your feet, and there's no more ability to grip the earth. You know the comfort in knowing that you can actually grip and balance yourself on earth with your toes, and they curl and all that stuff? Well, it's very unnerving the first time you put these things on. You're slipping and you're sliding and you've got no control. You've got no grip on the earth anymore. You're just there at the whim of the snow. And I can remember looking up at the mountain with these things on my feet and thinking to myself, you want me to, and I'm watching people tumble down the slopes and I'm watching people fall into trees and go every which way. Some people were coming down, but I can just remember thinking to myself, you want me to go down that slippery slope with these slippery toothpicks on my feet? Crazy. You're crazy. This isn't going to work. And so I remember being at the top of that mountain looking down and saying, oh my goodness, And all you see is just this hill of slippery stuff, and you're on these slippery toothpicks. And so in that moment, fear and anxiety began to sit in, right? And I'm like, what is going to happen? This could turn really bad. And then you realize at that very moment that the person next to you is full of peace. That the person in this case, who was my cousin's dad, he said he was there, and I just look over at him, and he is full of peace. Matter of fact, he is beaming with excitement to go down this thing. I'm like, all right, well, I guess if he's at peace with this, and he's going to help me with this, you know what? I could be at peace too. I can be at peace too. And so in that moment, he gave me his peace. And he told me, it's going to be okay. I've got you. Last winter, I took Isabel skiing for the very first time. And she was 9 years old, and we went up the wrong ski lift, my mistake. And the only way down the ski lift was to go down to Black Diamond, which are some of the hardest on the mountain, right? And so there's the only way down. There's no other way down. You can't go down any other way but down this Black Diamond. And so she's at the top of this thing staring, and she's never slid on these things before. And so I don't know what she might have been feeling. She might have been frightened. She might have been scared of doing something that she's never done before. But what I did, and I felt important, is to give her my peace and say, baby girl, I got you. It's going to be okay. And so I held her as we went down, and I held her, and we went down this thing together. And two, three runs later, she was like, Dad, I got this. Get off. I got this. And she's just carving the mountain up by herself. And that is how the Prince of Peace is with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. You may find yourselves in a situation in life where it's not peaceful, or maybe fearful or frightened or anxious or uncertain. And Jesus, your Prince of Peace, says to you this morning, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I give to you. You see, Jesus is not saying he's going to create situations around us that will cause us to be at peace. He doesn't promise that. That would be great. Well, hello. It looks like somebody escaped from downstairs. Hi, buddy. How you doing? Look at this. Is everything okay? What's going on? He needed me? Aw. Here I go. I get to give him my peace. It's okay, buddy. You all right? What's the matter? Okay. Okay. You all right, buddy? For God, the peace has nothing to do with the absence of fear, the absence of trouble, or conflict. It has everything to do with the presence of Christ. It has everything to do with the presence of Christ. Peace is not a clear doctor's report. Peace is not absence of conflict in your marriage. Peace is not when tears aren't flowing anymore. But peace is in that moment when the tears are flowing, that his presence is with you. Peace is in the moment when Jesus is there with you no matter the uncertainty of your future. And he says, I got you. It's going to be okay. I got you. It's going to be okay. He did promise us his permanent presence. That is what we hold to. That's what we celebrate and rejoice in. Amen. His peace shared with you is your gift today.
Can I ask you to just bow your heads for a minute? Musicians, you come up, please. Just two things. One is that you sense that peace right now. All right? Take a deep breath. You ready? Just take a deep breath. The peace of God right now. Amen? But the problem is you've got an entire day of all kinds of things. Festivities, maybe even extreme festivities. And maybe some of the women are having to cook, get stuff ready, decorate or whatever. So that when the family arrives, they walk into the festivities. Well, yeah, I want you to be able to take a deep breath and peace right now. But when you lie down in bed tonight, can you do the same thing? Just take a deep breath yes, the peace of God is with me. Last thing tonight. Ah, yes, the peace of God was with me today. Yes. Amen. Amen. Mike, you've got a carol for us?